Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, my beautiful listeners. I'm Jude Albright, and I am so glad that you are joining me for Love Your Addiction. I'm sure that you're all aware that everything on this planet has a life, and that means addictions have a life of their own, too. What if addiction is not about what you do, but rather about what you are refusing to be, who you are refusing to be, what you are denying yourself? Love Your Addiction, this program, provides a dialogue between you, the listener, and me, Jude Albright, your host. Its purpose is to expose truths so that you can see and hear and feel how to love your addiction for what it has shown you about you. I welcome you here today to see love in a very different light. I'm here to help you recover from the belief that there's something wrong with you or a family member or a loved one, that addiction has been bad. I'm wondering, how much of your life have you spent thinking about your wrongness or somebody else's wrongness? I believe that when you love something and appreciate it, you bring gratitude into your life. And when you're grateful, you become more loving. When you accept addictions and you give them love, you're much better able to see what they have been trying to show you about you. And with loving comes the acceptance of yourself and what you've been through. And here's an awareness for you. Love never, ever hurts. It's just your fear that's coming up. So please forget about what our movies and songs and any other kind of TV programs tell you how to feel about love. Today we are going to be looking at who does addiction. What kind of person gets addicted? How does addiction happen? We're really continuing our discussion on what makes an addict and a codependent that we started on our last show, plus where you can find help if you choose. So please join me in the chat room, which you can access at the bottom of your listening page, or you can call in at 516-453-9181 with your questions and your insights. We are all in this together, and I'm sure that each and every one of you desires peace and joy and love and abundance in your life, just like I do. So let's help to get each other there. I'm not out to try to change anyone. Only you can change you. I am simply the messenger of truths for you, which bring new possibilities for a life of ease, joy, and fulfillment. Interesting that today, the building next to me, I live in a condo, and the building next to me is being tented. For those of you who don't live in Southern Florida and understand what I mean when I say being tented, and I'm prefacing it with that because I'm originally from up north and I wouldn't have had a clue what tenting meant. I live on the water, and when you live on the water, there is a tendency to have termites that love to infest buildings, houses, office buildings. They come in and they eat away at the woodwork. Sometimes they even get into wood furniture. And the best way to get rid of them is tenting. So the building next to me was tented this morning. And as I looked out at it, on the tenting itself, there are signs all over that say deadly poisoning, deadly poison, deadly poisoning. Now, I saw that and I thought, what a beautiful example of what I'm talking about when I'm talking about loving your addiction. The people who lived in that building obviously have moved out, and they have to be out of the building for 2 to 3 days. They had to remove all of their food from the refrigerator, and all of the plants had to be taken out of the building because there was literally poison that was being pumped in to kill the termites, and it does work. Now, did the people enjoy the termites? No, absolutely. Did they enjoy moving out? No, all I heard was complaints. However, do they love the fact that what was once causing them problems, termites, is going to be over with in 3 days? Because all those termites and any other critters who live in the in their building are going to die. They're going to be killed. So let's look at loving your addiction in the same way. Most people who are addicted really do not look at addiction as a deadly poison. As a matter of fact, nobody wakes up one morning and says, what am I going to do today? I think I'm going to become an addict. How can I do this? That would be insane, wouldn't it? Well, but people do wake up each morning in emotional pain. They think of things like, why does my mom like my brothers more than me? Or thoughts and emotions come in that say, why me? Why does my dad come home and beat me every day? Or they might be thinking, why did my parents have to die in that accident? Or why is my wife having an affair? Or why did I get fired? Or on and on and on with all of these whys. And I'll tell you, when I ask why, when anyone asks the question why, it tends to cause emotional imbalances in your body. You may never know the exact reason, but when you look at anything, especially addictions, from a spiritual perspective, you can see things very, very differently because they are a learning tool. They are something that we as human beings, as consciousnesses, decided before we came here to planet Earth that we wanted to experience certain things to be more loving, to love ourselves greater as souls. And what perfect thing, or what could be more perfect than choosing an addiction, which really messes up your life, causes things to go wrong with your body, with your mind, with all parts of you. However, it pushes you to look at you and why you're choosing the things you're choosing. So, addictions really are nothing more than distractions keeping us from feeling our feelings. I'm going to say that again. Addictions are nothing more than distractions, and they keep us from feeling our feelings. So, who does addictions? An awfully lot of people do, but many of them refuse to admit it. They pretend that they are enjoying themselves until their addictions get out of hand. Because, as I said earlier, addiction is energy. And just like any other energy on the planet, it grows when you feed it. Now, let's look at what kind of a person gets addicted. There is no one particular type of person that gets addicted. Now, I know a lot of you listening might argue with me and would say, oh, yeah, it's the bum on the street corner. It's the guy begging for money so he can buy a bottle of cheap wine. It's somebody who goes to a dealer and gets all of his illegal drugs from a dealer. Well, yeah, a lot of that is true. However, much of what I just said is late-stage addiction, and it's much easier to catch someone, to catch yourself, when you are in the early stages of addiction. And by the way, the stages can go on from teenage years to senior citizen age. However, typically, and there kind of is a typical, the typical person who realizes that he or she has an issue is probably between the ages of 40 and 50. That's when it seems to grab us. Not always, but that seems to be quite traditional. Now, I said there is no one type of person that is more likely, one type of person who is the addict. However, there are people who are more likely to do addictions. And when I said there is no one particular type, I mean across the board, from CEOs to cops to teachers to lawyers to doctors to housewives to house husbands to teens to homeless and jobless people. I think I've covered the gamut there. No, I didn't say ministers, okay? Or religious orders people. Now, those most likely to do addiction would be those who learned how to do it, who grew up in an addictive home, who had an older brother or sister who was addicted, who had parents who were addicted. We've talked about the four different roles that kids take on when they grow up in addictive families. We've talked about the hero. And the hero very often is the one that looks good and looks like he or she has it all together. But very often they will have a breakdown in their 40s. And very often they will develop late-stage addiction. The scapegoat, who has always been the troublemaker in the family, very often starts his or her addiction in his or her teen years. And the lost child, who appears to be a no thing, who thinks that he or she doesn't matter, very often marries an addict because he or she is so used to addiction and what it's like because of the home he or she grew up in. And very often this lost child develops addictions with underweight or overweight, or codependency, which is also an addiction because it is a distraction that keeps us from feeling our feelings. And finally, there is the mascot, the youngest child, who likes to pretend helplessness and very often is diagnosed as ADD or ADHD, and very often realizes how horrible he or she feels inside and will start the addiction. Often people who are sad and depressed will turn to addictions. Their addictions tend to be more alcohol, or they will run to the doctor and they will think, well, because this is legal and the doctor's writing me a script, there's no problem. But, oh, my goddess, I have statistics here from an article that was published in 2014 by Michael Snyder, and he says that then in 2014, and I'm sure it's greater now, according to the New York Times, more than 30 million Americans are currently taking antidepressants. And the rate of antidepressant use among middle-aged women is far higher than for the population as a whole. In 2014, one out of every four women in their 40s and 50s is taking an antidepressant medication. Interesting, isn't it? And here's another huge aha. Americans, as opposed to anybody else in the world, consume a whopping 80% of all prescription painkillers. Okay, now, am I saying that every antidepressant is wrong? Nope. I'm not saying there is a right or a wrong. What I am saying is they lead to addiction. They are addictive. And by that I mean they alter our feelings. And I'm going back to my original description of what an addiction is. It is a distraction that keeps us from feeling our feelings. As a society, we don't like what we would term negative feelings. And in reality, there are no negative feelings. Feelings are feelings. They are your body's way of letting you know something is going on in your body. Whether the feeling is joy or whether the feeling is one of suicide, it is an indicator. And it is attempting to wake you up. People who are more likely to do addiction may also have come from unhappy homes where there is physical, emotional, or sexual abuse. So I've talked about several different types of people who are likely to do addiction, and I've covered practically everybody on this planet, with the exception of those who have a higher consciousness, who were, I don't even want to use the word lucky, that's what we would say, but who, before they came here, decided to incarnate and grow up in a family that was loving, that was nurturing. How beautiful. The interesting part about this, my beautiful friends, is that we can all change and have those beautiful, nurturing, loving families. But it's up to us. It's up to us to take responsibility. I would like to take this moment to talk about how to tell somebody's an addict. This is something that has been coming up in my practice, and this is something that I hear constantly from neighbors and just people that I talk to, and even some relatives. There is such ignorance, and there's a difference between ignorance and stupidity. Ignorance is really a not knowing how to identify something. It is a lack of awareness. And some of the things that I hear are clear indicators to me, but to the general population, they are not. For example, I told you that the building next to me was tented today, and I have a neighbor who I talked to yesterday, and he said, this tenting business has just caused me so much distress. It has taken me so long to clear out my place. The first thing I do when I go to my friend's house and sit out by the pool is have a nice big cocktail. Listeners, my dear, beautiful listeners, if you have that belief system, If you know somebody in your life who has the belief system that a cocktail, a drink, a shot, a line, whatever it is, an antidepressant, is going to make me feel better, and that's what I need to do to stop my being upset, that's a problem. That's an addiction. I also had a client who, I'm chuckling because I do know a couple of people who can relate to this. This client refused to go to her niece's wedding, and she said she would also refuse to go to a funeral at any church. And my question was, is there a problem with religion that is keeping you from attending these services? And she said, no. Churches do not serve alcohol. And in order to have fun at a wedding or a funeral, you need alcohol. Okay. Well, someone else would be clear and let you know they're an addict by saying, well, you know, I don't ever smoke pot, or I don't ever drink before 4 p.m., ever. That's my cutoff point. If you got a cutoff point, you're thinking about it, you're loving it, you have a problem. And finally, here's one more example. I had a client, and he was telling me how when things get really rough with his wife, his best friend said, you know, you can come over to my house anytime. My bar is always open to you. Well, if somebody tells you my bar is always open to you, that's an indication that there is an issue. A lot of addicts will say, well, you know, pot, marijuana is not addictive. It's not physically addictive. Well, you know what, folks? It's impossible to break yourself into pieces. You are a complete being. You have physical, you are physical, you are emotional, you are psychological, you are intellectual, you are volitional, which means you have choices, and you are spiritual. So it's not possible to split you up and say, well, because something's not physically addictive, it can't hurt me. It is hurting some part of you. And then they'll say, oh, but it's natural. It's an herb. Well, yeah, so is the poinsettia plant. And it's poisonous. And little kids who eat poinsettia every Christmas, there are some deaths as a result of it. Well, I have been talking about clear symptoms. And I would like to use this example of a little story called Toast that reminds me of the addict. Once upon a time, there was a man, and each morning he would get up to his favorite breakfast of buttered toast. At this particular morning, there was no exception. He would love the mouth-watering smell of the toast cooking, the look of the lightly toasted bread, and the sensation of spreading the butter while looking forward to enjoying its flavor. He would dip into the yellow butter with the knife in his usual way, and he began to spread. And then, damn it, it happened. The toast somehow slipped off the breadboard and landed on the floor. He was so amazed because it landed butter side up. Now, everybody knows that if you drop buttered toast, it always lands butter side down. Well, he became so very curious about this extraordinary phenomena, so he decided to go tell his very wise religious leader to see if he could find the answer. Well, the leader also became very curious, but he couldn't give an answer to the toast phenomena, and he decided it needed greater wisdom than he had. So the decision was made to ask the wise men of the world for an answer. Weeks and months went by waiting for his answer to happen, and eventually the man received an email to contact his religious leader for the answer to the toast. He immediately made an appointment and indeed looked forward to receiving his answer and solving his problem. He was shown into the special room reserved for important business, and he waited eagerly to learn from the wise men of the world. Well, his leader had many letters and emails to go through, but finally the conclusion was reached, and a momentous decision was made, and that decision was the man had, in fact, buttered his toast on the wrong side. Utterly ridiculous. Just like the person who you now know how to identify is an addict or not, their thinking is just as ridiculous. Now, on May 2nd, we are going to explore the word love and see how it relates to the addict and the addiction. And I'm wondering, what do you love about hurting yourself? And what if your emotional body has created your imbalances? Well, we're going to provide some of these answers for you. I also would like to invite you all to go to I am asking you to look at sacredstorytelesummit.com and find the wonderful things that Reverend Patricia Brooks is doing on this telesummit. And I am going to be a speaker on Wednesday, April 27th at 8 p.m., talking about loving your addiction and offering some things that you can only get on her telesummit. Now, what is truth? The sight of truth awakens and stirs us. The voice of truth repeatedly echoes awareness in us. The smell of truth sweetly comforts us. The taste of truth refreshingly nourishes us. And the feeling of truth warmly embraces us. I am asking you to please remind yourself to stay wrapped in your truth and love, remembering the true, magnificent, powerful, beautiful you, and please make the world a better place with you in it, and love those addictions for helping you to be a more responsible person. Happy creating. And bye.